We're live, babes.
We're absolutely live.
We're back. We're better than ever.
Back again for another for another show.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew.
A little air horn sounds.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
How's it going?
It's your girl, Julie.
And his cat.
And together we make up the crime fighting duo that is Miss Murder. So tell us, Catherine, about your week.
I have had, so I got over my little depression rut, yet I have had, yay, clap, round of applause for that.
To see it, the
I
both.
Just, I have not have any, had any motivation to do my paper. And part of me is like, maybe it's because this is a very complex topic. So basically, I'm doing a lit review on the Juvenile Sex Offender Registry, and then, like, we eventually have to, propose a policy, and I'm like, oh my god, this is a very controversial subject.
Oh, I imagine that there's
it is because some states, they, so, the standard age is 14, like, if you're 14 or older, you can put on the registry, but there's some states where you can be as young as 7 years old. And you're on the registry for, in some states, they're like, oh, you're on the registry for life.
Oh, word?
Yeah. But then, because it's one of the issues is that it's a state by state thing. And then,
instead of
like
a federal.
Yeah. And then when you look at the actual statistics, the recidivism rate is very low. I mean, it still happens, but it's very, very low. So I've been trying to get my brain to like process all of this information and it just doesn't want to come out.
Yeah.
It's just like, let's watch that new Al Capone movie on Netflix with Tom Hardy, which I heard was horrible, but like I want to watch it for.
Is it better than doing a lit review?
Yes. I hope so.
Well, through that.
Yeah, because it's due Sunday, which is when this will come out. So, yeah, just trying to like. My eyes are just so heavy. I had a cup of coffee before this too. And I'm just like,
I just had a cup of coffee too because I was about to fall asleep.
Oh yeah. I like had my mom. Well, we got new appliances.
Yeah.
So
white appliances homest. Where?
Yes, we had our white microwave. Our white microwave with the crack in the handle. Yeah, the reason we have these new appliances now is because apparently we were getting charged twice a month for, like, our home security system instead of just once a month. So we got that money back. So we're like, we're going to make our kitchen not early 2000s or 2020, but, like, 2014 style, you know, ground.
We love an update that doesn't take us, you know,
like,
a fortune.
It would take our oven like 30 minutes to preheat. No joke.
That is.
And even like the timer would go off and it'd be like, you'd have to kind of feel it out. Like,
right. You're like, this is definitely not 375 degrees right
now.
Yeah.
Let me like turn up the time to like maybe an hour for a 15 minute frozen pizza just to play it safe.
That's why I don't even fuck with the oven anymore. It's air fryer or bust, baby.
Air fryer, yes. I'm trying to, like, find more recipes for air fryer. Yes. I tried doing air fried eggplant, which actually, so I misread the directions. So they were burned.
Oh, no.
But the recipe worked. They were just a little crispy.
A little crisp.
A little crisp. Like, ooh.
We tried to make, I found an air fryer recipe on TikTok for tostones, which for all of our listeners who are not familiar, it's green plantain. And normally you like fry them. And then you mash them and then you fry them a second time and you add like some salt on it. It's
so
delicious.
Good.
But
so
you know,
good.
We're like trying to be a little healthy. So we tried it, right? And some things are just meant to be drowned in oil because it was just so dry.
Oh, no.
It was just because plantains are so starchy that
they
like
are.
Putting them in the air fryer without that oil to soak up, it just dried them out. And you know, it was just not good.
We just can't make that compromise.
No.
No.
Some, you know, Latin food is just meant to be drowned in oil sometimes,
yes.
And that's okay.
I loved when we would make plantains back in college. AKA you would make the plantains and I would eat them.
I mean, because Catherine, you were living with the United Nations. Guys.
Oh.
Catherine's racist grandmother.
Oh my
Catherine's
gosh,
racist
yes.
grandmother. Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
She made
yes.
a call. So in college, we were living in this apartment that was for four people, and Kat's mm-hmm. white.
Yes.
And I am Ecuadorian. And our other roommates were Colombian and Black. And Kat was on a conversation
yeah,
with her grandmother
she was,
telling
you know, 'cause I had called her. This was a couple years before she passed, but I was like, she was asking about my roommates. And I was like, oh yeah, these are my roommates. And then she said I was living in, it's like the United Nations. She was kind of tickled with that comment. And I was like,
It has always stuck with me.
It's quite a statement. Quite a
and
bold
you know
statement.
What? You know what? I'm not even mad about it because we were diverse.
We were in Wilmington. We were a diverse little pot.
We were the sole like diverse apartment on our hall, and
probably
yeah. Anyway,
that's the past.
Yeah, that's the past. We've moved forward.
Oh, Jenny's playing with a tree in the hallway.
There's a tree in the hallway.
It's one. So my mom loves Christmas. All the little Christmas decorations she has. It's like a wood cutout of a tree. You know, just like something you would find at like Home Goods or something. Like
right.
put by your door, like real cutesy.
Right.
So little Jenny is just.
Oh, I see her.
Yeah, you can kind of see her.
I
like,
see her, yeah.
Oh
I
gosh,
like
how
it.
Do I? There.
Yeah.
Haha, that's how I point.
I also don't. Yes, I also don't know how to reverse what is that called invert movement which
yeah.
Speaking of invert, so you know those TikToks that there's like a filter on TikTok where it
oh yeah that shows you what your
face
looks like compared to other people.
I tried it the other night.
Oh
and
no
I just gotta say I am disgusted with myself.
I did it
Why
too
did
and
nobody-
I was like oh my god do my little side bangs. Oh, we need to let
like,
them just
my
grow
face
out.
Is completely uneven. The whole like
oh,
my
same.
Entire left side of my face is like at least half an inch lower than the right side of my face, and I never noticed that before. And my eye is so droopy, and I hate it. It's not. Fun.
It's a soul crushing filter.
Yeah, don't do it to yourselves, everybody. Don't
love yourself.
Love yourself. Don't do it.
Please.
Okay, so are we ready for this
are
week's
we?
Case?
Yes, because I was reflecting on last week too, and I texted Julie this, and I was like, David Miscavige, I don't think he was really bullied growing up as a Scientology
no.
prodigy. So
right.
as we've said,
they
before,
were like making his head way too big.
Oh yeah, Julie, as she said in earlier episodes, bullying builds character. So
it
we
does.
Had to step in and give David that middle school bullying rite of passage that everybody has to go through.
That
so
he just did not get as a kid. He didn't get as
didn't.
A kid. So here, really,
better
we're providing. We're providing a public service.
We are. You
and
can
I'm
check out my awesome Photoshop job of
oh,
David
it
Miscavige
was excellent.
Absolutely demolishing Lord Farquaad. I was so pleased
yes.
with myself.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. So if you haven't already, head on over to our Instagram. Give us a little follow.
Give a little like, a little follow. You can see my cool Photoshop and the disturbing
yes.
image of David Farquaad.
Yes. With a double chin.
With yeah, it's almost like the second chin was supposed to be like his cheekbones.
Yeah.
But it just didn't work that way.
It didn't work. The free app that I used and morphed their faces in like 15 seconds, it just wasn't high quality, you know?
It's image-wise, yet, not high quality, but entertainment-wise.
Yes. High quality. Perfect. High quality.
Highest resolution possible.
Yeah, so this week's case is not going to be like nearly as crazy as the Scientology case, because I don't think anything will ever be that insane.
Because oh, yeah. It's an endless pit hole.
But it's a little nuts. Ooh. A little bit.
A little spicy.
So, yeah. So we're going to be talking about the murder of Anna, should I say it in an English accent or a Hispanic accent? Or should I do both?
You should do both. So that way you can translate, you know, for half our audience.
Yes. So the murder of Anna Laura Chavez.
Chavez.
And in Spanish, it's Ana Laura Chavez. You know?
It's not hard, people.
It's not hard.
You just got to put in that effort.
Because, you know, I've done like a couple Italian cases, you know, a little bit of my Italian heritage, you know. But I haven't really brought up my Ecuadorian heritage.
Yes.
So what a better way to
let us explore.
Yeah, what a better way to introduce it than with murder.
That's the only way to do it on this show.
It's the thing that unites us all.
It shouldn't be,
but it is.
On this show, in our cult, murder is what unites us.
Yes. And so I had to do this research entirely in Spanish.
Oh.
So please clap for me, because it was hard.
Yes, queen. Our bilingual queen.
Spanish is my first language, but your girl moved to the U.S. when she was real tiny.
She was a little thing. Little thing with pigtails.
Yes, girl. So let me paint you a little picture about why I picked this case, okay? So back in the summer of 2013, my sister and I took a two-month trip to Ecuador, to our hometown of Puerto Viejo, Manaví, during like our summer break, because, you know, we moved here when we were really young.
Yeah.
And I think we'd only been back to visit like a couple times since then. And it was always like a week, and we were always doing touristy things, and yeah, it was all like very planned and scheduled.
Fun yeah. Family time.
So then my mom was like, you guys should really go and explore your birthplace, like the two of
us.
So the two of us hopped on a plane over to Ecuador and stayed with my uncle's family for 2 months, like during our entire summer break. And, you know, we were exploring our culture,
having fun,
some delicious food. We gained hella weight. It's fine, though.
It's worth it, though.
Because we was eating. So during this trip, So during this trip, we went to this city called Manta. And this city is like the seafood capital of our country. So Ecuador is
you
like.
You had shrimp, didn't you? You had shrimp. Didn't you?
I did have shrimp. Did I have an allergic reaction, though? I didn't, because it was fresh. Fresh shrimp.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's, yes, okay.
Is your camera also, like, glitching?
Yeah, my camera's been, like, glitching, and oh, God, it's like my camera's being possessed. It's being possessed by David Miscavige's demon.
Yeah. No, it's Elrond.
Elrond is back to ghost. Get me for exposing him and his cult.
Yup. He said, bitch, talk bad about Scientology again.
What if we...
What?
Do we dare eventually get into the paranormal on this podcast?
Oh, we have to. Already have one like paranormal thing that I want to talk about. I just haven't, like, I just keep pushing it off because
cases
that are interesting.
Like, do we dare do the Ouija board? This is the caucasity I bring to the show.
Wait, like play Ouija?
I'm white. No, I'm drawn to this stuff.
No, girl.
My the caucasity side of my brain is like, do it, do it, do it. And then the normal side of my brain, the common sense side of my brain is like, you stupid bitch, you're going to do something wrong.
You know,
there's going to be an actual demon in your camera.
Exactly. The Italian spicy white part of my brain also calls to me. And the Ecuadorian Hispanic side is like, that's brujería. Do you want to be haunted forever? And then it very quickly slaps me back down. So we went to Manta, which is the seafood capital of our country. And it's actually, did you know that Ecuador is the world's leading exporter in tuna?
Oh,
fun fact.
I didn't know that.
So yeah. Manta is where, like, you, that's like the best place to get seafood in Ecuador. And it's,
you have to take me there.
Yes, I got you, girl.
Yes.
And so, like, because of that, Manta has turned into like this huge, big metropolitan city, like, compared to the small town where I grew up. It's like the small beach town, just like, I think, like,
so cute,
about an hour away. So we spent the day there seeing the sights, exploring. And in the evening, we had reservations at this very bougie Italian restaurant.
Ooh.
Called Mama Rosa. So Mama Rosa, what did we have? We had like a, it is not even important. So the ambiance was 10 out of 10.
Oof.
And
love a good ambiance.
Was like the most delicious food I've ever tasted. And about halfway through, the chef himself came over to say hi, because I didn't know this, but my mom and my uncle were friends with the owner. And like, if you know my mother, she's literally, she literally fucking knows everyone.
She's like a celebrity in her own right in Ecuador.
Yeah, we literally can't go out anywhere in Ecuador without being stopped and like somebody recognizing her. So
she's famous.
And so Rafi and I even took like a little picture outside of the restaurant, and I'm going to send it to you afterwards so you can see, and we post it on the Instagram so you can see little fetus Julie enjoying her first true cultural trip to her homeland.
Aww.
And so now, yeah, it was amazing. Now fast forward to February 8th of 2021, aka just like last month.
Almost literally a month ago.
So it was my mom and grandma's birthday, and we went to this Italian restaurant here in town. And my mom was saying like, oh my God, the food here, like the Italian food here is really good. And then I was telling her, I was like, yeah, but like nothing compares to the food that we had at Mama Rosa in Ecuador. And then she was like, girl, I got some chisme. And I was like, girl, what?
This is the perfect time.
I know. And it turns out that the wife of the owner of the Mama Rosa had been murdered in 2018.
What?
Murdered. And the case is insane. So that is what I'm covering today.
Oh, I am excited to hear this.
The murder of Ana Laura Chavez, who was one of the owners of the Mama Rosa restaurant. So Mama Rosa was owned by Giorgio Perotti, who was an Italian immigrant to Ecuador. And he, when he always like had dreams of opening up his own restaurant. So when he met Ana Laura Chavez, like when she was in college and they fell in love, they got married, they moved to Italy for like a few years. And then before Laura turned 30, they returned to Ecuador. And when they returned to Ecuador, he finally fulfilled his dream of opening up his own Italian restaurant, and thus the Mama Rosa
was born.
Yes. So now let me tell you a little bit about Laura Chavez. So she was the youngest of eight brothers and sisters. Whew. And she grew up in a really humble household in Puerto Viejo, which is my hometown.
Your little
so city. Because, like, her family was kind of poor, she would be dressed in, like, the hand-me-downs from all of her siblings. So, like, we're talking the hand-me-downs of the hand-me-downs of the hand-me-downs.
The, like, it's barely hanging on by a thread.
And she also had to like walk 2 hours to get to school because they were that poor, and they like, wow. Yeah, she had to walk 2 hours. So, but despite all these, you know, odds and poverty, Laura developed a deep love for animals and ended up going to college and even earned her degree in veterinary sciences.
Yes. And veterinarian is, that stuff is hard.
Yeah. Apparently, it's like, you think human anatomy is hard?
But vet school, I've heard, is even more competitive than actual human medical school. It's insane.
I can imagine. Like, you're not just trying to learn the anatomy of one species. You have to learn the anatomy of multiple species.
A lot of species.
So, yeah, she had this deep love for animals. She was, like, a fierce advocate for animal rights. And then in college, like I said, she met Giorgio and they got married, moved to Italy for a few years, and then came back. So when they started the Mama Rosa, it was definitely a very small restaurant. So she was the waitress of the restaurant and Giorgio was the chef. So like it was literally just them
just
two.
Just a little mom and pop.
Yeah, like a little mom and pop shop. But the food was so good that it quickly rose to fame in the city and like instantly became a go-to spot in the city and is now listed in every tourism website for the city of Manta. So even though she's like now running a restaurant with her husband, Laura was still very much passionate about animals. And so now that she has some money, Laura like spearheaded campaigns to assist animals. So Ecuador has a really bad stray dog and cat problem. Mm-hmm. So she spearheaded campaigns to feed and give vaccines to stray animals.
I feel like even, this is gonna all backfire.
She was just a good person, you know?
Okay. For some reason, I'm thinking being a good person and like advocating for animals is what's gonna come back and bite her.
Oh no!
I guess no pun intended. She could have.
So like, okay, so she was a good person and was a fierce advocate for animal rights, but maybe her human rights lacked a little bit. Because we will see.
It will be told.
So you know, okay, I guess I'll preface it by saying that Ecuadorian culture is still very conservative. It's still. Their acceptance of LGBTQ people is not quite where it should be. And that's what comes back to bite her.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So she did these campaigns to help animals. And then, unfortunately, I couldn't find, like, exactly what year he passed away. But mm-hmm. Giorgio ends up passing away. And eventually, Laura remarries to this American man named Kevin Waters.
That is such an American name.
Yeah. So when she marries him, so they have three kids, not Kevin, but with the Italian guy, Giorgio. They have three kids. And by this point in her life, she's like a very prominent and very well-respected businesswoman in her community. And she's like known to have like to do all these like humanitarian like things. She starts up her own foundation to help struggling families. Aww. And then when the huge earthquake that mm-hmm. affected Ecuador back in April of 2016, she like organized single-handedly help for all of these marginalized communities in Manabí. She like provided shelter. She bought tons of mattresses and she even coordinated flying in a plane full of food and medicine and other supplies like with her husband. So she really was a good person overall. Like,
an amazing person.
Yeah. And like everyone that knew her said that she was charismatic and just a light, a sunshiny light. Yeah.
This is going to be sad.
Yeah. So in November, let me back up a little bit. Never mind. So because her husband is American, but she still very much has ties to her community in Ecuador. Mm-hmm. She like spent, she split her time between Miami and Manta. So she lived 6 months in Manta and she lived six okay. months in Miami. So on November 6th, she had just returned to Manta from Miami. Because every year she organized this Christmas party and like present and toy drive for the underserved kids in her community. And even though her husband was begging her not to travel because, you know, like we should spend Christmas together. We don't get to spend Christmas together. We should just like go traveling. And he was telling her, you know, like you have all these people that work under you now helping you with this. Like you don't have to do all of this yourself.
Yeah.
But she was determined, like she wanted to travel back and be hands-on with the planning for this event. But little did she know that she should have just listened to Kevin.
No.
She should have just listened to Kevin.
She just wanted to help the children.
Yeah, because on the evening of November 10th, 2018, a mysterious man is seen sitting outside of the Mama Rosa restaurant for about an hour, just sitting there. Until Laura Chavez arrives. When she arrives, this man stands up and makes some sort of like motion with his arm, like
hey.
Indicating for somebody to come over. And next thing you know, this woman in a terrible wig.
Oh, I'm ready to see the picture of this.
Walks over with her hand in her purse towards Laura. When she's, like, directly in front of Laura, this woman takes out a gun from her purse and fires four shots.
Four?
Two hit the restaurant, one hits Laura's car, and one actually hits Laura. And it was, like, it hit her, they said, at the height of her ears. So, like, literally, she gets shot in the face.
Oh, my God. Was she, yeah. So she was standing in front of her?
Yeah, so like Laura was just arriving to the restaurant.
And so this woman in the wig.
Like walks over and just point blank shoots her. Fires off four shots like really quickly and shoots her.
Oh, so that's why they were like scattered. She just.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm doing like quick draw motions
quick
here.
Quick draw motions. Pew pew. Yeah. So. As soon as they shoot her, both the man and the woman start, like, running away in different directions down the street.
Scatter.
And, yes. And so, you know, these people think that they've gotten away scot-free.
Oh.
You know, they've committed their crime. And
they have the wigs. They had the disguises down. They had their escape plan.
Exactly. But they were stupid criminals.
Good.
Okay. Because, number one, Laura is not dead. So, when the police arrive on the scene, they see that Laura is in critical condition, but she's not dead.
She's alive. Oh,
she's alive.
Man.
So, because her husband is in Miami, they immediately, like, fly her and her daughter, Erica Perotti, over to Miami on, like, one of those, like, ambulance
yeah.
things. So, you know, the intention was to get her the best treatment so that, you know, she would be healed.
Recover.
And mm-hmm. yeah. But unfortunately, the wound or like the gunshot was directly hit her cervical spine.
Oh my God.
So she died from complications to the gunshot wound just 9 days later.
Oh.
Yeah. And then,
and, like, around the holidays, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's not a good Christmas for these peeps.
No.
So, on December 6th, Erica Perotti, who was Chavez's 24-year-old daughter, flies back to Ecuador with her mother's remains. You know, they're gonna bury her in Ecuador because that's, mm-hmm. like, her home.
That's
place.
Her home. Yeah.
And then the unexpected happens.
Oh.
Homegirl is arrested just hours after she arrives into the country.
The daughter?
The daughter.
The daughter.
Yup. Because So it turns out that this area that's surrounding the Mama Rosa is like heavily monitored by CCTV cameras. And so the whole ordeal was caught on film.
Yes.
So this, yes. This mystery lady, this dum-dum in a wig who fired the shots.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't her.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. That's a fact.
It wasn't her. But she was a dum-dum. And, you know, like, sure, she started scattering and running away. But she wasn't that. There's literally CCTV cameras all around this place. And yes. Dumbass, as she's making her getaway, takes off her wig just a block away from the crime scene. So the camera legitimately captures her whole ass face. And right after that, she literally comes back and meets up with the man just a block away from the fucking crime scene.
My God. Have they seen any, like, heist movie at all?
No, they have not. No. They had not seen a single heist or crime movie in their life because they were stupid.
We're just gonna go 50 feet away from the person that we just murdered and take off our disguises and discuss the crime we just committed in front of all of these cameras. Yep,
exactly. So because the cameras got their whole ass faces, the police were like very quick to identify who they were. So they identified the two people to be Angie Ochoa, and the man was actually her husband, Gabriel Bermejo.
Just marriage things.
But something didn't add up to the police, though. Why did this random couple seemingly, like, shoot this prominent woman without mugging her? They didn't attempt to steal her car. Ooh. Nothing. They literally just shot her and ran. Like, there is absolutely
a confounding variable here.
That's right.
There is a confounding variable in this heist.
Yes. And this is when the police, the investigators, they start becoming suspicious of Erica. So this is all like while they're in Miami. So the police was conducting their investigation. Like, as soon as they found out, or like as soon as they started suspecting Erica, the police immediately kept the entire investigation under wraps from the family. Because they were like, damn, we suspect foul play within the family. And she and our suspect is out of the country. So we can't make any moves until she's back in the country.
Oh, that is so, just so sweet.
Yes. Oh. So the police start interviewing people close to Erica and close to Laura. And all of them pretty much said that the relationship between the mother and daughter was really rough.
Ooh.
Like, they had constant fights, especially because Erica was always, like, very greedy about the family's assets.
Ooh, yeah, money is...
And also, there was speculation that Erica was actually a lesbian, and that when she tried to come out to her mom... that her mom did not accept her and her partner.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
So this is what I meant with, like, the whole, maybe her human rights
are
not quite where they should be, because.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. That doesn't give her an excuse to do what she did. You know, it sucks to, you know, come out to your partner and your partner not accept you for who you are.
Yeah.
So. At this point, the police are like, okay, well, like, now we have to see if we can connect these shooters to either Erica or her partner.
Mm-hmm.
So they get access to Angie Ochoa's phone records, who is the lady who committed the actual crime. And what do they find?
What do they find, Julie?
Multiple calls to and from Erica Perotti and her girlfriend Michelle Burao. There was even one long ass call made by Michelle Boudreau on November 9th, the day before the crime.
Ooh.
So, yeah. By this point, you know, Erica's out the country.
Yeah.
But they know she's about to return. And with these phone record connections, they're able to have enough information to arrest all four people involved.
What a involved. Sweet moment.
Yes. So in the early morning hours of December 7th, they arrest Erica Perotti as she's like sneaking into, like, or not sneaking into, but she like sneakily is going to visit her girlfriend, Michelle Boudreau, yeah. And they arrest them both. Oof. And they arrest the other two, like the couple that's involved.
Oh, yes.
So,
I liked it.
Yes. So the day after her arrest, and there's just more. There's so much more.
Oh.
So there, I couldn't find like too much, but the stuff that I did find was juicy.
Ooh,
so then
yes.
The day after her arrest, Erica hires this lawyer named Pedro Moreira to represent her. And so pretty much she was arrested on December 7th, and their trial, all four of them were tried together, and their trial was on August 14th of 2019. So pretty much the outcome of this trial was that both Angie Ochoa and Erica Perotti were sentenced to 26 years in prison, which is like a life sentence over there.
Yeah.
And the other two were also sentenced to prison time, but I couldn't really find the information about how long for the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did find that the man, Gabriel, he had previously had a record that dealt with, like, drugs and, like, assault, I believe. And then the girlfriend, Michelle Boudreau, I couldn't find anything about her. So, but the court did determine that Erica had, in fact, plotted with her girlfriend against Chavez for not accepting their relationship with the intent to inherit the restaurant as well as the rest of her estate. So the two of them,
they were going to have their own twisted happily ever after.
Yep. Her intent was to like inherit all of this stuff and then leave the country to go live happily ever after with her girlfriend. And, you know, they did that by hiring the world's stupidest hit people to
you
do
know,
the
with
job.
All of that money, I would have, you know,
at least found somebody professional.
Invest in the disguise. I mean, she probably wanted a budget. She's very frugal. So
yes,
she was probably
of course.
Able to hire these
of
people
course.
For super duper cheap. But they could have had a little room in the budget for the disguises.
For a better wig, maybe. And maybe just tell your hitman, like, hey, don't remove your wig just a block
have,
from the crime scene.
You know, lead them.
Yes.
In this heist of
they didn't
taking
stand
life.
A chance. They did not stand a chance.
No. Which
so yeah. So Erica was sentenced to the prison, right? And shortly after she spent some time in prison, her lawyer, Mr. Pedro Moreira, comes out and does an interview.
Oh!
Saying
what
that,
Mr. Pedro have to say?
He says that he will no longer be representing Erica.
Oh my God, he broke up with her?
Well, no.
Well, as a lawyer to a client.
As a lawyer to a
up,
client, yes.
That's
he
what
broke
I mean,
up with
yeah.
her because they have fallen in love.
What?
He said that their love flourished after so
oh,
many
she
hours.
Is slaying him.
Yes.
He is slaying Mr. Pedro.
Literally. Okay. Yes.
Oh, she is playing him like a little violin so she can get
period.
That little happily ever after with Michelle.
Period.
She knows how to play the game.
Yes.
She didn't have
so
the right chess pieces, but she knows
no.
how to play the game.
Show is. Oof. So He said that their love flourished after many hours spent working together in prison.
Oh, such, that's where every great romance has to start.
Yes. And he confessed that he had left the case because he was afraid that the court would see his defense as the pleadings of a man in love.
Oh! I have to laugh.
Yeah.
So, oh, I have to laugh at that.
Yeah. So after this comes out, and of course he like recuses himself from the case,
which honestly is pretty responsible as a lawyer.
Yeah, it, that is honestly it is like that's the only ethical thing to do. So Moreira helped Erica get a new lawyer for her appeal, but during the hearing the conviction was upheld and they increased her sentence to 34 years instead of 26.
Oops.
So pretty much to this day, Pedro maintains that Erica is innocent and that she would have never plotted against her mother.
Because he knows her so well.
So well.
He knows her like no one else does.
Exactly.
Not even
Michelle. Laura Chavez's family. Yeah, Michelle doesn't know him quite as well as he knows her. It's just all those hours spent working in prison.
You really bond.
It just, it gets so intimate in there.
It does. With all those people watching, that's,
yeah,
that's what everyone dreams of.
That's how you develop a relationship. So yeah, Laura, after what's his name, Pedro came out saying this, Laura Chavez's family all came out and said that they believe she's guilty and that they've pretty much turned their backs on Erica. But her her two siblings came out after that and pretty much said that they forgive her for what she's done and that they'll stand by her, even though they tried to visit her in prison and Erica told them that she didn't have time that she for them and that she didn't want anybody from her mother's like family to visit her, even though those are her two siblings. Like,
oh my god, she's literally spending all these years in prison, but she doesn't have time for that.
I don't have time for that.
She's got all of this time except for them,
not for them.
Ooh.
So then fast forward a little bit to January 11th 2020. It's Erica's 26th birthday.
Oh my god, she was young.
Yeah, she was 24 when she fucking did this. Yeah. So it's her 26th birthday. So, of course, Lawyer Bay made arrangements to bring Erica cake in prison.
Oh, my God. What did he smuggle in that cake?
Nothing. But he said that during this meeting, they shared their first kiss and made plans to travel the world and live abroad once she's free.
Oh, honey.
And let me not forget, they also made their relationship Facebook official.
Oh. Oh my god. It's happening. It's happening, everyone. They have put it on the internet.
Yes, I have personally stalked both of these people's pages.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your service, Julie.
And it's,
thank you,
legit, like, this man is absolutely getting played. Absolutely getting played. He posts like lovey gooey things to her page like every single day.
Oh no.
And I know she's in prison, but when she does reply to these messages, she legit like replies with one word answers.
Do you have, okay, are there screenshots?
Yes.
Can you find screenshots?
I don't know if we should post them though, because both of these people are still alive and like,
oh, okay.
I don't want to get in trouble for like, yeah.
True.
So also like, how the fuck is she getting access to Facebook in prison?
Well, so like there's this show. Oh fuck, what is it called? Love After Lockup. Phenomenal, yes. Trash TV. And this guy, excellent, was being played by this woman in prison. Like, he had sent her,
oh, the guy, yes,
and yes, he sent her like $5,000. And she's like, you know, he would give her a phone. And if she got in trouble for having the phone, they would take it away. He would buy her a new one and give it to her.
Yeah.
And then so he found maybe
he smuggled a phone in the cake.
Probably. Because then when he found out that, you know, his little boo thing that was playing him wasn't getting out of prison, he decided to walk through an orange grove. And the man looked like he was drunk because he was mumbling through himself, kind of like falling through an orange.
It was very grove. Dramatic. It was very dramatic. Yes.
Definitely check it out. Streaming.
It's pretty ridiculous, honestly, the way that she's just like still plotting and playing shit while in prison.
She's playing the long-term game here.
Yeah.
She has to be.
So enough about her because she fucking sucks.
I agree.
There was some good to come out of this. So like I said, Anna Laura, she really liked to help people, especially once she saw like that Manta was becoming such a big city and mm-hmm. that there were marginalized groups on the outside that were living like very poor lives. So apparently whenever she was alive, her and her husband, Kevin Waters, were in the process of trying to come up with like a nonprofit organization to help poor families. So after it was announced, you know, after all of this happened, Kevin came out and did an interview in 2019 where he announced that he was going to carry out Laura's dream by opening the foundation that she wanted to open that would assist poor families in Ecuador. And the name would be called of the foundation, El Sueño de Laurita, which means Laurita's dream.
Oh!
So...
That's so sweet.
Yeah, so, you know, she her legacy lives on, and her all this money that she made by working hard and, you know, all this stuff, like, it's being put to good use and helping families all over Ecuador, which is really nice.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
But also so sad, but so nice.
Yeah, that is the case of Ana Laura Chavez and how she was horribly murdered by her greedy daughter.
Never have kids.
Never have kids. They will ruin your life. And then they will murder you.
Take your money.
They'll take your money and murder you. Which to me doesn't sound very appealing, so.
No, doesn't.
Yeah.
Doesn't really sit on my vision board.
Yeah, that's not how I envision my life going. So, thanks for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed that one. And now, let's do a little ABC's a crime, shall we?
ABC's a crime?
ABC's a crime. So, this week's ABC's a crime, or this week's episode, was brought to you by the letter A.
A.
Which stands for, accept your kids, or they will fucking plot to have you murdered by the absolute worst fucking hitman on this planet.
And that's, I mean, you know, if you're gonna have a kid, you should be like, bottom line.
Accept them.
Yeah, like, if you are like, oh, if my kid's gay, or if my kid is, you know, any of these things, don't be a parent.
Don't be a parent if you're not prepared. Don't be a parent. For that.
No, because as a parent, your duty is to love your child unconditionally and accept your child.
Literally, literally. So, you know, maybe this is a shitty thing to say. But maybe if Ana Laura would have accepted little Erica's little gayness, maybe she wouldn't have got shot in the face. Her little gayness. I don't know. I mean, Erica was still a shitty person, clearly. Very greedy. Very shitty. But, you know, just accept her kids.
And I feel like if she did accept her, it would have been like a stepping stone to like repairing the relationship.
Yeah, or maybe it would have still been bad, but it would have just been about money. It wouldn't have been about money and this other thing. So
it's either money or your love life.
So, yeah. Don't do that. Except your kids. And thank Love you them. For tuning in on this wild ride.
Another and, fabulous episode.
Yes. Another fabulous episode about murder and the things that connect murder. Us as cultures, which is murder. It is what it is.
It is.
It is. It's so sad.
Yeah, that's all we talk about.
That's all we talk about is murder.
But that's why you're in our cult. Thank you.
Our little crime-loving pal.
Thank
cult.
You for being a Thank member.
You. Thank you for being morbidly fascinated by people dying.
Ah! What a great, like, honestly, if we start a successful cult and we have our own plane, that should be like the announcement in the gate lobby, you know, mm-hmm. where they're like, mm-hmm. thank you for flying American. And then we yeah. just say our thank you for your fascination with dead people.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I think it would be a very welcoming lobby.
Yeah. Everybody's going to want to get on that plane.
Everybody wants to join our cult.
Yes.
It just is.
Just We're just going to keep saying it because you do. You do want to be a part of our cult.
We're not hypnotizing you. This podcast
You sound like
is not
the Purge hard. Announcement. This is not a drill. The annual Purge will commence. Your indoctrination you. Into the cult shall commence.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
My wonderful right. announcer voice.
I love it. I Thank think y'all. It's excellent. Yeah. So, yeah. Follow us yeah. on Instagram at
ms.murder_podcast. And you can see all the pictures and funny yes. crime TikToks.
Yes.
I recently
and on
posted.
Facebook.
Yeah. Like us on Facebook and you can see those photos too. Like on our Instagram. I've posted a cute little video about the, Law and Order SVU theme song.
Oh, I saw that. That one was
great. Pops off.
It slaps. They didn't have to go so hard. They just
but they
didn't.
Did.
But they did. They did that for us.
They did. It's a legacy that's lasted, what, 20-something years now? Almost 30-something yep, years? How many yeah, seasons yeah. there are?
So many. So many. I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess.
I guess that's it.
I guess that's it. I guess all yeah. that's left to say is. Good night.
Buenas noches.
Yes.